Inspire Eugene, episode 25.
Welcome to the Inspire Eugene podcast. Each week we showcase individuals with heartfelt and powerful messages to encourage you to take those first steps to unlock your very best work. Are you ready to get inspired? Here's your host, Brad McKinney.
Welcome to this episode of Inspire Eugene. I'm your host, Brad McKinney, and I have a great guest today, Ross Good, and he is from the project Bags of Love, and they just do an outstanding service for our community, and glad to have him on the show today. Welcome, Ross. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Brad. Thanks for having me and Bags of Love on. We really appreciate it.
Perfect. Well, Ross, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the program you're involved with?
Yeah, I'm from a small town in Southern Oregon, and so growing up, the impact that you have on a community that small is felt immediately. So when I was a kid and growing up through high school and everything, I was always involved in the community and volunteering and donating and doing these things that you could see a direct impact. And so when I came to Eugene, I wanted to continue to do that, mm-hmm. and I was introduced to Bags of Love by Di Barong, our founder. She came and spoke at a network event I was at, and I was hooked as soon as I heard her talk about it. The sole purpose of Bags of Love is to provide necessities and comfort items to children in crisis due to neglect, abuse, poverty, or homelessness. And so when I heard this, it was exactly what I wanted to do with my free time, and so I began volunteering. And what we do is we put items in bags that the bags are age, gender, and seasonal appropriate, and then these bags are distributed throughout Lane County through the agencies we work with. In each bag, we have toiletries, we have two full sets of clothes. If a child's in school, we have all the school supplies. If it's winter, we have coats and gloves, and we also have toys and a blanket in each bag. And then our agency distributes it to the children that they work with.
That is awesome. I think, like I said, an outstanding service for the community. My wife and I did foster care several years ago, and wow, it's just crazy how much those kids don't have, and having a program like the one that you're involved with and being able to provide that for kids is just incredible.
Yeah, and that's how it got started. Saw these children come in, the career she was in, she saw these kids coming in out of the system with nothing. You know, they had maybe the shoes on their feet and maybe the pants they're wearing and a shirt, and that was it. And so when she got out of that career and retired, she decided to start Bags of Love. And she started in her bedroom, and then we moved to the Pearl Buck Center for a while. We had a room there, and then we moved to a different location. And now we're in another location, and we just actually expanded that location because we are growing. And what Dad's done is touch so many people and so many agencies, and it just continues to grow. It's been phenomenal.
Awesome. Well, we're going to get a little bit more into that story here in just a second, but before we do, yeah. could you start us off a little bit with a quote that's most inspired you in your life?
Yeah, it was kind of something that was said to me in passing, and I can't even remember who said it or when it was said, but it just stuck. And I remember having a conversation with an individual, and they were asking me, we were just talking, and something came up, like I was too busy to do something. And this individual just said to me, well, you're never too busy, you just got to get up earlier. You just got to start your day earlier. and so when they said that to me, I was like, wow, that's so true. And, you know, this was probably 10 or 15 years ago when this was said to me, so I always remember that. If I think I'm too busy for something, I got to get up earlier, stay up later, and find the time. So that's something I always live by and have since then. So,
absolutely, I'm an early riser. My days usually start around 4:30, and then there's a whole wow. You know thing that goes on to kind of kick off the day, and then you know, you get a lot done between that 4:30 and the time you got to hit the day job, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have kids. I know you have kids, and you want to spend all your free time you can with them. So you got to get some of that other stuff done.
Absolutely. Any side projects or anything I've ever been involved in has happened in that 4:30 to 8 segment, because the protected time is, you know, that 5 to the kids go to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important for everybody.
Absolutely. So Bags of Love. You're the director or the president, or what role do you play?
Yeah, I'm the president. President of the board of directors. I've been in that position for about 7 months now, and I've been on the board a little bit over than that, but I've been volunteering with Bags of Love. I've been involved for about 5 years now, and I stuffed the bags before, which is the process of putting the bags together based on the order that we receive from the agency. So
awesome. So tell us that story about either the moment you decided that this was going to be a big chunk of what you spend your time on, or even the story about taking that leadership role inside of Bags of Love. I know that was probably a fairly large commitment that you've stepped up for.
Yeah, it certainly can be, absolutely. Di asked me about joining the board, gosh, it would have been 2 or 3 years ago. And at that time, my wife was in nursing school, and I just didn't have the time that I could commit to it. And with my wife in nursing school and myself working and then our son Roland, if I was going to commit to it, I wanted to do it right. I didn't want to do it halfway. I wanted to give them exactly what they needed. So at that time, I had to turn it down. I was still a volunteer. And then my wife got through nursing school, and she's a full-time RN now. And some of my extra time opened up a little bit, and I decided to take that. And then after a couple months of being on the board, some people moved around, and a shift happened where the president position opened up, and they came and asked me, and I said, absolutely, I can definitely do this. And being involved in the volunteering aspect of putting the bag together to doing this, I felt like I had a good understanding of the organization and the direction we wanted to go and the direction we needed to go to get there. So that's when I made the decision to take on the president of the board position.
Awesome. So what do you think makes Bags of Love unique as a as an organization? I know there's a lot of charities and those sorts of things, and there's probably other places that provide similar things that you do to the demographic you're looking at donating things to. But what makes Bags of Love unique in that space?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Brad. There are some other agencies out there that provide pajamas and coats, and we work real closely with those agencies. What separates Bags of Love is a complete package that these children receive. And the reason that we do that is it's designed that the bag can be with the child and they can have what they need, really everything they need besides really food and a roof over their home. You know, there's clothes in there, there's coats if it's wintertime, there's school supplies, there's a blanket, there's comfort items. You know, I mean, you have kids and I have kids, and we all, you know, our children really respond to certain items and don't respond to other items. And so by giving these kids these comfort items, they have something that's theirs. And the way that we distribute also makes us unique is we don't see the kids. We don't work directly with the kids. We don't hand the bags to any of the children. We work with agencies in our community. We work with over 50 agencies that will call Bags of Love, and they'll make an order. They'll have five girls that are 13, 15, and we'll make those bags custom for them, and then those agencies will distribute them. And I think that's another thing that really makes us unique.
Awesome. And you guys do the presentation that I heard on Bags of Love that you gave at one of the greeter sessions. You guys hand make the bags and the blankets, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
We do, yes. All the blankets used to be handcrafted and quilted. We do some now where we buy some fabric and then we put the bags together with it, the blankets, but all the bags are handmade, so they're very durable, they're very sturdy, it's a very high quality bag, and it's made with love. Our sewers and quilters make all this with love. They're all volunteers. Every member of Bags of Love is a volunteer, every person on the board, we're all volunteers, there's no paid staff. So
awesome.
The time and effort and love that is put into Bags of Love is, you can see it directly in our quilts and in our bags.
Awesome. Now, how many bags do you guys normally give out in, say, a given year in your project?
Right now, we are at, we're over 1,000 bags now.
Oh,
this
wow.
is by far our biggest year. Yeah, we've put over $160,000 back into the community. And you know, if you look at it in one way, that's over 1,000 children that have received a bag that have clothes and toiletries and school supplies. and we're only looking at growing. Every year we've gotten bigger. This is the 6th year that Bags of Love has been operating, and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So
incredible. And I know it doesn't come free. So what types of fundraising do you guys do to help out with getting these bags to the kids?
Yeah, we do a lot of fundraising. We do a lot of grant writing. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of events. We have a big event coming up in 2 weekends, the McKenzie Cider and Craft Brew Festival in Springfield. And that's a third-party fundraising event. So if people want to attend that event, part of the proceeds that you pay for the entry goes to Bags of Love.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's another. And then we do a lot of drives where right now we're also doing a diaper drive through Kendall. Kendall's been gracious enough to allow us to put a donation barrel in their locations, and people can drop off diapers at any Kendall location. And then we also do like stuff the bus events where we park outside TJ Maxx and people can drop off clothes or toys or school supplies. So it's a lot of different things, I guess you could say.
I would imagine coming up here is probably going to be a busy time for you. And also competing with other charities for the same type of thing. Is it a busy time, or do you guys even it out throughout the year? Because it seems like you guys are looking for more that package that would allow the kid to kind of transition well, or start off in the process right instead of upside down. Is that? Showing my perception.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, being in the foster care system, you have a pretty good idea of how this works with the children and things. So it is a busy time of year right now. School is going, and that's really picks up because we get a better understanding, I think, in the community of how many of these children that we consider in crisis are out there based on when they come through the school system and the things that they need to be in school, whether it's the clothes or the school supplies. So right now it's busy. This time of year, you have the holidays coming up. People tend to start thinking more about their families and friends and community when the holidays come around. And so we do a lot of drives right now, and a lot of people are donating time, and a lot of people do different things for Thanksgiving and Christmas where they give back to the community. So right now is busy. We have some of our larger orders right now, so things are ramping up. And we're always looking for volunteers, and we're always looking for members on our board. But right now, more than ever, we are. Because, awesome. You know, a lot of coats and things like that are going out right now, too. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, as far as kind of your journey in this process, is this your first leadership role in a nonprofit like this?
It is, yeah. I've been on committees before, but this is my first leadership role in an organization, a nonprofit. Yep, absolutely. Awesome. And it's been great learning how to communicate. Our board is very diverse. You know, we have people in their mid-20s to people up in their mid-60s, and learning how to communicate with different generations and different folks has been quite a challenge. But it's a unique challenge. I don't know where else I would get a challenge like that. So it's been great.
Awesome. Is there anything that you've been in the role for a little bit here? Is there anything, if you had to do it over again, you'd do differently?
I would learn how people communicate rather than rely on how I communicate or how I think people communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's different. There's so many different ways to communicate now. You can communicate by phone or text or IM. I mean, there's so many different things you can do. And learning how those people want to communicate, I would definitely start there. I'd also spend more time talking with other agencies about how they do things and getting ideas. You know, our organization's different, but it's similar. We overlap with a lot of different children in Lane County and a lot of different agencies, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so learning some of the things that's been successful for other people that have been in leadership roles has been instrumental so far to my to my position, and will continue to be to continue to talk to people and listen and learn. I probably would have started that earlier. Those are a couple of things. Yeah.
Do you find that other agencies in town are cooperative in helping? Is it because you always looks like you have the same goal in mind? You find a lot of cooperation with other agencies and people doing similar things that you're doing?
Yeah, we've found a lot of cooperation. It's been instrumental into the growth of Bags of Love. We did an agency day I believe in August, and the whole point of that was to reach out to these agencies that we work with and say thank you, but also, you know, what else can we be doing? What else do you guys need? What else is there? Is there anything else that we can help with? And what we found was that we wanted to do an event together. And the event that we did, we partnered with all these agencies, and we reached out to them, and we said, hey, we're going to throw this barbecue, and it's going to be where the kids can come, and they can get their bags for school, so they can get a full school supply, get a backpack, get all the things they need. And the response was huge. We thought it would be a couple hundred. We thought it would be like maybe 100, and we had a couple hundred show up.
Awesome.
I think we distributed over 200 bags full of school supplies to children, but then they also got to bring their families, and that was all driven through the agencies and their participation in Bags of Love. It was a huge success, and I think everybody had a great time, and everybody got a full belly out of it, and we got to meet a lot of people, and it was a lot of fun.
That's great. As far as this program, what do you think would be, and I know, it's going to want to catch you off guard on it, but what do you think has been the proudest moment so far for you as taking over this leadership role and kind of seeing and working in a space that you haven't really done before?
Yeah. You know, the proudest moment is probably still to come, but the growth going from where I started volunteering to where we're at now, it's bittersweet to an extent because the need is there, and we can continue to get bigger, and we will continue to get bigger. But, you kind of wonder, like, there's probably isn't an end. If there is, you know, how do we get there? But you want all these children to have the things that they need, and that's why we're going to continue to do it. So I would guess the growth side of it and the amount of children that we have this, that we offer the service to, but also on the other end, there's more, you know, and there's always we always need to do more, and we're trying to ramp up to over 200 bags a month is where we'd like to be.
Awesome.
So, and having the things in place to do that, you know, that's a lot of growing pains have happened in the last 6 to 9 months, and there's going to be more, but just the resiliency of our volunteers and the desire for everybody to get on board and do this has absolutely been incredible. So I'd say that's probably the biggest part of it.
Awesome. So what do you think has been your biggest challenge so far as either an organization or just personally in this process, and then what are the lessons that you learned from it?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest challenge is there are no paid staff, and we're all volunteers. So everybody is basically doing this from the bottom of their heart. And it can be challenging at times when you have people that work and then people that have, families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talked about from 5 o'clock on, that's family time.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the only time that you can meet to have these meetings and do these fundraising events. And it's tough to juggle that life, work, volunteer balance for everybody because everybody's a volunteer. So you got to rely on communication. You got to communicate with the different folks at different times when they can and can't do stuff, you know, when we have volunteers. And you're relying on people to continue to give from the bottom of their heart. And things happen. People get sick, jobs come up, trainings, whatever it is. That's probably been the biggest challenge is to keep moving forward. We have a tremendous base in our founder, Di, and our executive director and some of our staff, or not paid staff, but some of our other volunteers have been there from the beginning. That it's amazing being around them, and the time and effort that everybody puts into this is incredible. And we need more. We need more volunteers. We need more individuals on our board. We need more. So that's going to be the biggest challenge moving forward, is continue to move this forward.
Absolutely. I think a leadership role in a volunteer organization definitely takes on a different role than, say, a leadership role in a for-profit organization, right, where people are getting paid to be there. I would imagine the challenges are a lot different, and it's more of an inspiring leader where you have to have a strong vision so people are compelled to show up. Instead of have to show up. I think it's definitely a different view from a leadership role. And I'm sure you've gone about it way differently than you would have gone about it if the folks were being paid to do it.
Yeah, you really lean on these individuals to bring their heart in every day, because that's the only thing that, you know, comes is helping these children. Nobody's getting a paycheck. Nobody's walking out of there with cash. It's when you leave, it's, you know, that you're helping kids, and that's really the bottom line. And reminding people what we're doing this for. We're not doing this because we're trying to promote an individual or anything. We're doing this because we're trying to help the kids that we're surrounded by every day. That's the thing, is these children are in our communities. They're in our classrooms with our kids. They're walking down the street. We drive by them. We walk by them. We see them. We talk to them. That's really what it's about.
Absolutely. What is the long-term vision for Bags of Love? Like, do you guys have a big goal you guys are looking to meet? Or, I mean, what is the mission of the mission statement, I guess, for Bags of Love?
Yeah. Well, that's the big question, Brad, is how far do we take this? And about 2 weeks ago, Di and myself talked to a big group of our volunteers, about 15 of them. You know, we've talked about this, we've gone back and forth. Is this something that we want to do outside of Lane County? Is this something we want to do regionally, like in the Northwest? Is this something that we can do across the United States, where maybe orders are done online and we ship that way? All those things have come up, and they're all things that we need to address as we go. But right now, the next goal is 200 bags a month. Mm-hmm. How do we get there? The different fundraising that we need to do, the different grants that we need to write for. That's really the main goal right now, is to get to 200 bags a month. We think once we get to 200 bags a month, at that point, we'll be able to qualify for some of these larger grants that maybe we could have a paid staff member to. Maybe we get a delivery vehicle where we could deliver outside of Lane County. Maybe we could open up another location, you know, in Douglas County or in Lynn or Benton County, and then kind of have it take on a life of itself at that point. But right now, it's 200 bags a month. That's the magic number that we think we need to get to. There's more kids out there that need it than that. That's the hard thing, is if you look at it like that, we could be distributing these bags all over the United States, all over North America. But right now it's 200 bags a month, and that might take us outside Lane County. Absolutely. We don't know what that's going to look like. But as of right now, we got to get that 200 bags a month and see what comes of it.
Sounds like you guys got a lot of exciting things happening in the future coming up.
We do. We just expanded our warehouse. That was a really big one. It's incredible to see Di's face, and Rindy's another one of our volunteers that's been there from the beginning, to see their face when they look out at this warehouse that we have now and talk about the orders and the money and everything that we need to do to continue these things going. It's really a special deal for them, because they started when it was Di's room. She had one room in her house. She's doing it to where we're at. It's been really neat, and it continues to be great.
And you guys have a video. Is it on your website, or is that just something you bring with you to presentations?
It is on our website. Okay. Yeah, awesome. If anybody want to go to bagsofloveinc.org, we have a video on there. It's a 4-minute video that really shows the whole process. It also on our website talks about our mission statement. It talks about the upcoming events we have. There's a calendar on there, so if people want to volunteer, they can sign up on there. They can contact myself or Di. They can even register volunteering, I believe, through our website. So the website's a great resource, and it's really well done. And we actually have the different agencies that receive our bags, how you can donate. If you wanted to sew and quilt, if you're a sewer, there's information on there about it as well. So awesome. The video is on there. It's on the front page, and I think it's a tremendous video. Blue Bus Creative did that for us, and they did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, when I saw it at Greeters, it was definitely one of those greeters where you're like, oh, now I must do something, because that was was very powerful.
It tugs at the heartstrings, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I get a lot of inspiration from the things that I read. What would you say is the most inspirational book or piece of information that you've consumed in your life?
You know, there's a lot of books that definitely have inspired me. One that I always refer back to, and it really has nothing to do with Bags of Love, but more just in kind of the way that I've been born and raised, and the way that I choose to live my life and raise my children, is a book. It's probably not a real well-known book either. It's a book called Itchy Feet, and it's a book about a gentleman named Pete Serafin, who passed away a few years ago now, but he was was born and raised in the community I was born and raised in, which is a very small logging community. And he went out in the world, and he did a lot of different things, and he was very successful, and he was a big hunter, and he spent a lot of time traveling around the world and hunting and living his dreams. And when I read his book, it's a lot of, it really hits home because he was raised in the small community I was raised in. He was a very successful businessman, and he did a lot of things in the community and gave back to a lot of different organizations, and he traveled the world hunting and living his life the way that he wanted to. And that just kind of inspires me because I've been where he's been, and you know, in terms of living in that community. And then I also hunt, and I strive to be a better hunter. And he was also a successful businessman and successful in his family life as well. And I inspired to do all those things as well. So that was, that's one that I kind of always come back to.
Awesome. Definitely have that on the show notes, and I'll check it out. And I always like reading from local-ish authors, but at least from Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
What do you think's the most important or your favorite resource that you use in your either business or day job or however that you use regularly?
Yeah. Gosh, honestly, I'd probably say it's my wife, just because she's just been so instrumental in my life, and I'm very fortunate to have found her and have raised the kids that we have, and we have twins on the way, and you know, we're so blessed to continue this. So she's been just instrumental in decision making with my family and in my career and in my life. And I think communication is another huge part of that, communicating with her, but also we talked a little bit earlier about communicating with the different folks at Bags of Love and communicating in my workplace too. And so I think communication has been another huge part of the success that I've had so far, and the success that Bags of Love has had. Di and Rindy and Catherine, our executive director, it's huge. You have to be able to communicate well in your personal life. You have to be able to communicate well in the workplace, and you have to communicate well in these extracurricular things that we do. So,
awesome. I'd say one of my favorite resources, my wife as well. So I'm on that train. I am.
Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I do. I do. Absolutely. Having an understanding spouse, and being able to communicate and have them help you and you help them is definitely a blessing for sure.
It is. It is. Absolutely. Yes. We're both very fortunate, aren't we?
And the last question I ask everyone, if you were a superhero, what would be your superpower?
Well, that's a great question. It is Halloween right now.
It is.
There's superheroes running everywhere. You probably have actually maybe one or two in your household.
Yep. There's most likely going to be a superhero that hits the streets tonight.
Yeah. Well, my son is actually going to be Superman, or Spider-Man, excuse me, for Halloween.
Cool.
So that would be pretty neat to swing from building to building. But to be a superhero, you know, it'd probably be along the lines of something. I'd like to fly. I think that would be great.
Awesome.
I come from a flying family. My grandfather flew Hellcats in World War II and then owned some airports. So I was fortunate growing up to be in the sky a lot. So I'd like to fly, and I guess maybe Superman. I think making people happy is really a great superpower. So I don't know if there's a superhero out there that does that, but maybe a mixture of a Superman comical superhero.
That's awesome. I like the making people happy. I think so far out of one of my top ones was being able to give someone a hug whenever they need it. You know, just knowing, and you know, same thing, being able to make someone happy whenever they need it. That'd be a great superpower.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, and you know, those hugs are nice Thursday morning at Springfield Greeter.
Absolutely, the hug committee. I love the gauntlet. I do.
Yes,
that's good.
It is.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today. And just one more time for everybody, if they wanted to get a hold of your organization and either be a volunteer or find out more information about Bags of Love, how would they do that?
Yeah, well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Bagsofloveinc.org is our website. All the information you'll need is there to volunteer, about events, things like that. If somebody doesn't have access to the internet, be happy to call us. We're open Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2, Mondays from 5:30 to 7:30. Our phone is 541-357-4957. We do have an answering machine there, so if somebody wants to leave a voicemail, we'll get back to them if it's not during those operating hours. And you can come see us, too, during our volunteer times, Monday from 5:30 to 7:30. Our address is 710 Commercial Street, and that's Eugene, Oregon 97402. And we'd be happy to have. We need volunteers. We need people on our board, and we need to spread the word. We need more agencies as well, so we can get these bags to the children in our community.
Absolutely. I think this is a great cause. It's one that if you are inspired to help other people, this is definitely a cause that you should look into. Go to their website, give them a call, watch the video. I guarantee you won't leave with a dry eye. So check them out. Again, Ross, I appreciate you being on the show today, and I hope everyone has a great and inspired day.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's Inspire Eugene podcast interview. We are committed to bringing you great content each and every week. Please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and spread the word by sharing our page on Facebook. Have an inspired day, and we will see you next time.